Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to After Things, the podcast where we talk about issues relating to creative people, whether you're a podcaster, writer, musician, interpretive dance, you name it. We're going to try to cover a topic that might relate to you. I'm Andrew Main, joined, of course, by Brian Brushwood.
Yo!
Justin Robert Young.
Hi.
Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Here we are.
We are.
I have a question for you. Now, we're all involved in several different spheres as far as what we create. I do a little bit of podcasting. You guys do a lot. Justin does a lot of podcasting. Brian does a lot of YouTubing. Brian also is very involved with scam stuff, and this is a big part of the year for him. So he spends a lot of his time creating products, planning campaigns, doing that stuff. Justin's in the middle of the Contender launch and what's going on with that. I want to find out what some of your favorite tools are, things that you've come to use that make your jobs a lot easier that you wish you knew about, you know, sooner than you do now. I mean,
I'll jump right in on this.
Please
for
do.
Sure. As far as the books side of things, I was very, very glad that I encountered what was originally called Vook, now known as Pronoun. But I think the landscape has changed so much since I wrote those books that I don't even know that that's relevant. It sounds like the new hotness, if you're going to write a book with interactive aspects, is to use the iBooks engine, or what would you recommend,
Andy? So you're talking about for doing interactivity. So I don't do the degree of interactivity you do. For layout, I used Vellum, and I very, very much heart Vellum. Vellum I like a lot because Vellum allows you to create your book in a nice layout design. It was created by a couple of former Pixar software programmers. And the way it works is it's a Mac-only thing, so that's a limitation, obviously, for a lot of people. But you load your file in there, your Word file, whatever, and sometimes if you format it right, it automatically formats. It's beautifully laid out. I'm using it for all my new books. And then to do one book, you pay $30. To do 10 books, you pay $100. To do unlimited, it's $200. If you want to create a really nice looking book, it is well worth it. I was just 2 days ago, I was in a conversation with somebody who manages a really an independent publishing company, but they represent some of the biggest names in fantasy and sci-fi. And I was showing him Vellum, and he was flipping out because they've got to put out dozens and dozens of titles a year, and the functions in that app are great.
And you're talking about like specifically stuff like typography and layout and all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But
very often, and we've talked about this on the show before, like those are the things that scream, this is the same thing that your kid is going to write an essay like in that format, and not like this is a book that you would pick up from Barnes and Noble.
Yeah, or at the airport or whatever. Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. My life changed, or it began a vector of change in October of 2012 when John and I think I was going through like my third or fourth year. It was as we were transitioning to more online stuff. I wasn't touring as much. The last time I had done a major theater run was at Halloween Horror Nights in Orlando, Florida in 2010. So it had been a while, and we had kind of slipped behind, and I had been, I don't know, I kind of had this rolling credit card debt in a bid to be like, let's just wipe this thing out. Let's just write the third book. Both of the first two books premiered to about $10,000 of sales. Then we can get out of credit card debt and we can move forward. And so Bonnie, in an effort to, you know, support us, said, I'm going to take the kids to go see the grandparents. We're going to get the hell out of here. And instead what happened was we cooked up the idea of what if we had an online store? You know, people seem to really dig buying the books. I almost get the impression that people could buy more stuff than we actually have for sale. So in October of 2012, we used a site called Shopify to launch scamstuff.com. And it ended up being a life-changing decision because once we got – first of all, Shopify essentially turns everything into a video game. It keeps a count of how many things that you've sold. It's got graphs and metrics to let you know what trends are happening. And as we go into our third holiday season, it is amazing to be able to – as a matter of fact, there was this amazing moment a month ago where I looked at the last 3 years of data – And there's kind of a wave that goes up going into holiday season. And then, you know, as businesses do, second year is bigger. And then the third year, everything's been bigger going up. And then it's amazing to see this cliff where you know that, well, if I was going to place a bet, it would be that they're going to be bigger, bigger. And I realized I don't physically have enough inventory to cover. There's not enough stuff in the warehouse to cover how big this graph is going to be. So we ended up having to, you know, drop everything and throw a bunch of resources into making sure there's enough Rogues Taverns and Arcana boxes going into the holiday season. And obviously we're still in the middle of it, so I can't really predict how it is. But that ability to look at the gamified version of commerce, you know, when you're just moving widgets from one thing to another. I can't speak enough about Shopify. ShipStation has been another invaluable tool. And I'll say as far as like finance things, whether it's on an individual basis or you know, on a business basis, Mint.com is a life changer. If you're not on Mint, you better be on something better than Mint. And you better be able to explain to me why what you have is better than Mint.
Personally, Brian's number is out there.
Yeah, no, 866-EAT-FIRE. Call me right now. Mint is life-changing.
I echo second on all those. You know, when we launched the Contender website, the only way to go was Shopify. I've been very impressed with what we've been able to do. You know, especially in customizing. You know, listen, the Contender is a brand that is in large part based on writing and concept. And so the fact that Shopify makes it so simple for us to have all of our auto-generated email correspondence with people, whether or not they're buying, whether they're getting refunded, whether or not, you know, like every element, every possible thing, I went in and wrote little personal funny things. So when people come in and they buy something, that they get a little bit of the Contender spirit from the people who wrote the game.
In fact, along those lines, two quick things. Number one, I don't think I mentioned MailChimp is absolutely vital to reaching out to your fan base.
MailChimp.
And then also, one of the things I love about Shopify is when you're logged in, there's a little tab that says apps, and there's this entire marketplace. Like the bare bones Shopify is super, super affordable, but there's all these people who have figured out that they can build apps. Some of them are free, some of them cost money. For example, there's one that used to be called Lexity. Now it's owned by Yahoo, but it allows you to log in and see exactly right at this minute how many people are in your store, how many people are browsing, how many people are thinking, how many people are in the act of checking out or whatever. And there's also widgets that do things like allow you to write clever emails for when people abandon their boxes. They go their checkout carts. They put stuff in, they get as far as putting their email in, and then they get distracted before they hit the trigger or whatever. And I love your point, Justin, because that's exactly what we've done with our abandoned checkout things. Do you happen to have, Justin, any of the examples of the writing that you did?
I can look it up.
Because I think that's an important aspect, is figuring out how to virtualize your character in these things. Just as, you know, all of Scam School is a virtualized version of hanging out with Brian Brushwood at the bar and getting the chance to, you know, to see some magic and so on.
I'm going to double down, by the way. I thought that Shopify, I used that on your recommendation, and I found that there's great plugins there for letting you do an e-commerce and storing stuff like on your Amazon S3 cloud. And it's pricey. It's pricey. If you want to just do digital goods, there's payloads and there's sales. But if you're going to do physical and you want to keep track of a lot of stuff, but they make up for it with a lot of features, though. So it's not like it is, you know, the kind of metrics that Brian talks about are great. And that was one of the delights for me, was finding out, you know, all of that other data in there. And so if you're going to take that seriously, I think that is a, you know, because I was thinking about, here's the thing I love about Shopify. Back in the day, Justin and I used to, when we were running our little magic site and selling stuff like that, I would get every couple days, I'd get, hey, I didn't get my download, this thing didn't work or whatever. I was getting those periodically, and it was a routine thing to happen. I forget I have Shopify because I never have those problems.
Exactly.
The only thing I ever get is I get, hey, I got a new computer. My old one got stolen by raccoons or whatever. Can you send me a brand new download link or something to that effect? But that's just – it works so seamlessly. I know this sounds like an infomercial right now, people, but it's not. And the subject to you mentioned MailChimp. I used to hate MailChimp because I thought their interface and email designer was just so kludgy, so problematic. The new version of that, I love. It is so much easier to design emails and so much easier to go back and repurpose and fix them. I use MailChimp every day for the weird list, which if you're not on the weird things list, you can get that whenever I send stuff out because I use an autorespond. They have evolved into a great tool. Sometimes you get with a company and you watch their product just stagnate and it doesn't improve and they try to, you know, they may add features but not fix the things they need to. Versus, I think Shopify and MailChimp, I think, have just, in my opinion, have become
absolutely. MailChimp also has fantastic metrics to, and they have advice. You know, they're like, hey, here's what works. Here's what you should consider doing. Here's how you did this email versus the last email. Here's the average for that list. Also, once you subscribe and start paying, unlimited emails. It's based on how big a list you want to maintain is. Whether you're emailing them daily, three times a day, once a week, it doesn't matter.
So here I pulled up my our email things here. So this is if you order the Contender right now, for which I recommend you do. Please, kids, play along at home by going to thecontender.us and buying. You know, prove me wrong that this isn't exactly the email you get when your order is confirmed. It reads, a majestic eagle spreads its wings as it lands on a small town's withered ballot box. What's that in its beak? Yes. A signed poster from Grover Cleveland himself reading the name of the person who bought the game. Hey, you're great. Great job.
That's awesome. What's funny is that's very much the spirit of our abandoned checkout email. If you log out, you get an email that later says, hey, person's name who abandoned their cart. Brian Brushwood here, along with the whole gang at Scam Stuff. So we were all gathered around our computer watching your order come together. But then, plot twist, we saw that you didn't finish checking out. There was kind of a moment of silence. And then John was all like, dude, do you think this person was attacked by grizzly bears or something? That totally made sense to us. So we leaped directly into action. We formed a task force, started calling all the ranger stations in your state. Good news. Turns out you weren't in any of them. Brant thinks you may currently be battling pirate ninja robots. Bryce is still convinced you were abducted by aliens, in which case it'll be a while before you read this. Me? It's obvious to me that you developed the power of flight and are just taking a few days to celebrate. Whichever it is, I'm sure it's very exciting and taking up all your time. But here's the important thing. You should know that your order is still waiting at checkout. Take all the time you need. We're currently holding a candlelight vigil, and we'll be holding hands, thinking of you until then. Click here to complete your order.
So... I'm gonna dissect that, and I want to tell folks the single most important part of what you sent, Brian,
is
and according to me, can you guess what it would be according to me? What the single most important part about that is?
It was creative and interesting.
We'll forget about that.
Oh, it used the autofill thing to put their name in.
No, I hate that. That annoys me when people do that, actually. But
I don't know. What is it?
I know who I'm dealing with. I got names. You guys. Personalities there. You're not, welcome to Scam Stuff Intergalactic and, you know, customer service. Tony here is answering. I hate that. And I deal with people sometimes, like, I'll get stuff and I know they're sending me their fake, like, oh, my assistant will get back to you. Like, oh, your girlfriend? That's great. You know, and get this fake stuff for people who pretend. There might be some circles. Like, if we're trying to sell some service to, you know, some big, huge company and we need to sort of put on a little bit of airs, that's fine. But when I'm dealing person to person, be a person. And that was a thing from people. That was a thing from real people who are like, hey, we're the guys that are selling you this thing. And Well, that and that so
is
much.
I think that's something that the contender is doing very well, and I'm glad that you think it's something that we're doing.
Grover
well.
Cleveland, right? Yeah.
No, but when you
but that Justin's is a thing from the contender. That's what works about that is that it's like I said, that's the game. That's who I talk to, you know?
Well, and it's honest. When you don't have the power of a giant corporation or of a mega brand behind you, I know for us, the decision was don't try to fake it. You'll notice that all of our packaging is hand stamped because what we don't have giant abilities to do one-offs of full color, glossy, whatevers. We can buy a lot of attractive craft paper and cardboard boxes from Uline, and we can get stamps made for $50 a piece at a local stamp joint. And we do have the time to hand stamp all of that. And what we lack in the polish that a bigger company comes up with, we hopefully come across with the handcraftedness, and that goes all the way to the way we present ourselves and the character of the online store.
And that's a great point. And to think about this too is large companies spend millions of dollars trying to figure out how to manufacture that personal touch. There's a reason why, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken still, you know, wanted to have the Colonel, went away from the Colonel and tried to go back to the Colonel. Why Virgin Brands and Richard Branson, and that when you can have a person or somebody associate with it, it can be invaluable. It's why Subway is, okay, we'll put that aside. The point is that your most important asset is the fact that you are a real person. And if you can be a real person, interact with that. You know, I'm on Twitter, interacting with people. You know, I'm trying to be my nice, cordial self with that. And people email me like, hey, you know, where's this order? Like, yeah, I'll handle it. You know, sometimes I'll have a friend does that sort of stuff for me or whatever, but often it's me and I don't hide behind that. I did a thing with my books, you know, is that I didn't put a publisher on my new books that I've been self-releasing because I thought, you know what? I released it. I put it out there. You know, AndrewMain.com is my company. It's an LLC. I'll just do it as that instead of trying to pretend, oh, yeah, this is some like I'm published by, you know, a real quote real publisher, but I'm more proud of the stuff that I do on my own, and so I don't go out of my effort to, I try to make it look as polished and professional as I can, but other than that, I'm not trying to put on
airs. And we live in an age of, you know, the internet honesty era. Speaking of which, Justin, do you have another example of the writing, or because I'm sure you wrote, like, you sat down and wrote a million of
yeah,
those.
Yeah, wait, I just closed it.
Damn it, Justin.
Did you have another one that you wanted to read? No, really.
I just blew my whole ammo right there. That's the best thing we got on the site. Although I will say, you know, every week we write a new email on let me log into my MailChimp, because every week we try to have a new release, although it's been a few weeks since we did. When you write an email, This last campaign that we sent was about our Black Friday event. And by the way, you can log in and you can So we did one on Wednesday about how we were cheating about Black Friday by going early. So we said, hooray, impatience, for Black Friday begins now, because again, honesty. But we tried something silly on this next one. This one just says the world's shortest Black Friday announcement. And it says, you're busy. Person's name. So here's the world's shortest Black Friday announcement email. It says, hi, today everything's on sale. You'll be happy if you buy stuff. Bye. And then that's it. And then it goes, P.S. I should have clarified. When I say everything's super cheap, I'm not talking about the build quality of the products. John and I actually really pride ourselves on finding wonderful, well-produced, and finely packaged novelties and tools. You know, the perfect gear for the modern rogue. I'm just saying that across the store, we've massively discounted every single item so that one day you can knock out all your holiday shopping, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. PPS, oof, good point. It's all fine and good for me to wave my hands and say bargains over here, but it doesn't really do much to inspire or motivate, does it? Here, fine, check out these tasty samples. PPPS. See that? Lowest prices we've ever had in the Bad Boys. And then I explained that. And then I'm like, PPPPS. Crap! I forgot to mention the free book thing, didn't I? A bunch of details on getting a free book with everything. And then he goes, all right, finally, it's all wrapped up in the world's shortest email. And then it's like, PPPPPS. Damn it! Dang it! Ding-dong-doodly-doo-wop. Yes, yes, yes. I should tell you about this other thing coming up. And then it keeps on going. And then finally, there's a PPPPPS. Holy crap, that's right. There's a video where I explain all this stuff. So technically, it was a very short Black Friday email that hopefully made people laugh as it got longer and longer.
No, that's that is definitely great, and yeah, man.
And that's, I think that you kind of tried to touch on what we just said before, is that like what Justin did with the contender, where you get a response from the contender, and what you guys do, all your interactions are product. All of your interactions are part of the experience. And I remember back in the day when I ordered something from, I think it was Penguin Magic, and I liked the fact that, you know, that it, they had like, there was like extra item in there, or there's something else in there, like a DB, you know, just the idea like, oh wow, there's another little joyful surprise in there, which is, you know, good marketing sense. But when you have like really strong personalities like you guys do, to make that go all the way through into overflow, you increase the interactions. And it's, you know, people make fun of unboxing. Well, part of the reason we like unboxing is that part of the personality of the device or the toy or whatever is in the presentation of that.
Yeah. We did do one thing this Black Friday to let people know. It's been interesting because, you know, with the contender now, we're still vaporware technically. Like, you know, we're still a concept of like Cards Against Humanity plus politics, like is probably the most attractive way that people can do it. And we've done very well with it. You know, we're actually featured in the realsimple.com's gift guide for the holiday season. We're one of their picks for what you get your boyfriend if he's into politics. So if you have a boyfriend who's into politics, then get really girlfriends.
I've dated a girl that liked politics, but
it's such a real simple way.
F buddies.
I'm not dating anybody right now.
Those are good. You know, literally anybody. That's if you say Ralph Nader and they know what there's going on, then, you know, you're going to really be excited. But we wanted to, I mean, we launched a site. We officially turned on, we were accepting orders because as of Thursday, or actually probably Wednesday, we got a word from our manufacturer that the boxes of the contender, the decks of the contenders, are officially boxed up on pallets, ready to go on Monday. So it is the earliest that we can, without lying, say that everything is shipping, right? You know, we are shipping from the manufacturer to the fulfillment centers. The fulfillment centers will fulfill to everywhere around the country for both the Kickstarter backers and our pre-orders. So,
okay. So how much of a, how unclenched did your butt get now that that is actually happening, given the fact that so many people bought and pre-ordered in anticipation of a Christmas release?
There will be no unclenching until I see pictures and videos of people getting this stuff online.
Which by the way, is only happening like in the past 72 hours on the Arcana artifacts, has finally gotten into everybody's hands on Thanksgiving weekend. And I'm just like, oh, thank goodness. It's happening.
We wanted to do a video, and you can find it on the contender thing. So I mean, it's only 51 seconds. We can just play it right here.
Fellow Americans, this is an important announcement from the contender. The contender is now shipping to all 50 states of our great nation. Get the presidential party pack, which includes the 500 card base deck for hours of political enjoyment, 40 custom topic buttons, and also more. Buttons, buttons, buttons. Buy now. And the only thing you're missing, audio listeners, is Justin Robert Young dancing as you've never seen someone dance before, in a suit, and eventually revealed to be wearing only boxer shorts on his bottom half. It's amazing.
So the idea with that being, you know, we, so here's where we, the problem that we had, right? So we got a store that's open. We have a huge buying season, right? Starting at Black Friday. And we don't have actual decks yet in our hands, right? Everything that is being created is going to the fulfillment centers, and then eventually coming to us. But we need to announce something, right? So it's like, for us, we wanted to do something that was Facebook video friendly, because that is such a huge part of you know, getting out to people and reaching everybody. So, you know, what was something that we could do that was an interesting enough visual that demonstrated that we had decks and boxes and everything? So we took one of the mock-up boxes that is what our deck will look like, right, or does look like, but you know, it doesn't have any cards in it. And then it was just, you know, me being a horse's ass, you know, dancing around and stuff like that. But you know, hopefully it's something that, you know, is just, you know, we wanted a way to kind of retain the fact that it's fun and not make it just kind of the hard sell, because unlike scam stuff, we've got a product, right? Like it's really like we are a one product store with a few add-ons. And so it's like the idea is not as complicated as you guys. The problem that you guys have, and that's a good problem, is like, hey, look, there's a million different reasons to come into scamstuff.com. Really, we're just like, we're a cool card game. Everyone will like us.
And the important thing is that you recognize that inherent in most Kickstarter stories is the joy of success, is the characters who made it. Just as important as what the product is the story of the people who had an idea and wanted to make stuff happen. And so I feel like I missed out on something just
and
now.
No, I sent him an idea for a special box.
Okay, all right.
it's let's say that we'll see this version of the contender next Tuesday.
Okay, got it. So at any rate, but I think it's important as you get closer to release, so to speak, is to remind people, like, this is what you bought. Is you bought in this moment of the idea coming to fruition, and part of what you bought is the joy of the creator seeing their idea be made flesh.
And I don't know. You know, it's really you know, it's very, very nerve-wracking you know, now. And also it's like, you know, we've had pretty good sales, you know, for the site's been open for 3 days. You know, we've seen a pretty good just kind of trickling of sales there. But you know, we know for a fact that it's like, it's not going to be until people get these in their hands and we can, you know, and Amazon, you know, is going to be always going to be huge for us sales wise. We're not up there yet until we get into they won't let us push live on there until we get into the fulfillment centers. So it's like, you know, it's hard. And it doesn't get any easier as we get closer to this kind of rubber meets the road. Let's see how well this thing sells. But, you know, hopefully people are excited about it. And really, you know, if nothing else, nothing will be good for us unless people get these in their hands and say, you want to know what? This is a really fun game.
Yeah. Dude, that's fantastic.
Do you have any other tools? I have a couple that I would go into that as
Tools for productivity. I live off two apps that I don't know how long they will still exist because Microsoft bought both of them. Wunderlist and Sunrise. Wunderlist is huge for me in terms of just being a good, simple to-do list app. It's a app on your phone. It's an app. It's a Chrome thing. It's really, really rad, and it gives you a lot of smart functionality to pin it to certain times. It's very easy to be shared. You can manage your notifications to a way that it works. Sunrise is also a daily thing for me. And I know that's definitely getting sunset, but I don't know what Microsoft is going to replace it with or fold it.
I love the idea. Yeah, these are these great parts of my life that I love that Microsoft bought just shut down and screw with me.
No, I mean, I, from what I know, it's going to go into other similar things. They're just kind of consolidating their branding. At least I
roll it up into a less useful product.
Please, Satya, don't screw with me, because Sunrise is amazing and awesome. It's going into
Outlook,
which is also good. People like Outlook, the new Outlook. You know, it's really those two are gigantic, and I'll just put it out there. I know it's like so de rigueur at this point, but we have the entire contender experience has effectively been done by disparate parties on Slack since, you know, its initial conception. You know, we have probably been in the same room at the same time, the four of us, five times. And other than that, everything gets done on Slack. It is a, you know, not a perfect app. I think that we are hopefully going to get to a position where not everybody wants to start a Slack, because it is hard to keep track of multiples. But when it is effective, it is very, very, very effective. And I think it is the best version of something that we have seen tried over and over and over again, from Yammer to other kind of like social media-y within the workplace productivity kind of platform. Slack is just the one that kind of cracked the code.
Yeah, absolutely. Slack is incredible, and I was slow on the uptake of it, but yes, it's great. Amazing.
I used it for the first time yesterday. I got sent back and forth an email about an invite about Slack. I'm like, I kind of know what this is, but I kind of don't have any other place in my life where I'm using it, so I may miss out on something important. But then yesterday, working with a friend on a coding project, we're like, let's use something to talk in Slack. Love the way it signed up and started. I keep open almost all the time on my computer. Photoshop is usually open because I'm always tinkering around with photos. Scrivener, which I've talked about before for writing. Scrivener is if you are a novelist, long-form type of writer, whatever, Scrivener, you should invest the time into learning how to use it. It is the bomb. It is absolutely I tried different things, then went back to it and promised I would never, ever leave again. For doing hand coding, I use Coda by Panic, which is a great text editor for doing that kind of thing. I like that. And then if you want to create a website that looks pretty cool pretty quickly and you don't have any kind of website know-how smarts or whatever, I use a program called Hype, which is it's a Mac app. And what it is, it allows you to create interactive websites very, very quickly. It's HTML5 compliant, but you can do animations and other stuff. Like, I think last year I just whipped together something really quick for Justin for Go Home Santa. I mean, you can map out what you want to do on a napkin and then 30 minutes later have something up and running. So there are, you know, great examples of it, whatever. But it's very much kind of a what you see, what you get based on HTML5. So I don't use it for everything. Like, I've been working on a thing for like making books readable online, and I wouldn't use it for that because it's JavaScript heavy and there's a lot of preload. But for other stuff, it's great. So those are my favorite apps. Those are things I use. You know, for collecting articles, I use Pocket.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, great. That's where the weird things topics come from, is things I save to Pocket. Whenever I'm like, oh, this is good or useful, I'll put it into Pocket and pull that up later on. So those are kind of my favorite things at the moment.
Yeah, I would add Google Docs, Google Sheets.
Oh, I mean, yeah, good point. Like, good point.
Of course, yeah.
I use instead of Mint is I actually use a spreadsheet. I use a big spreadsheet in Google Docs. So that's where, you know, because I go in there and map out, you know, income in, coming, going out, whatever. And Mint is a great program. Mint's absolutely a great program. But I use you know, a spreadsheet just to be able to project and stuff and all that.
Yeah, right on.
In the chat room laments the fact that there has been no open source applications mentioned. Holler at your boy, man. I'm always looking for. I am certainly not. Hypercritical of it. Let me know. Let me know what if there's any open source version that is superior to anything that I've mentioned, man. I don't get provincial about this stuff. I just love the best thing that solves the problem the best.
Yeah, I think that the problem gets to be that trying to make sometimes some really advanced user-friendly stuff that are more of edge cases or niche cases is problematic and hard. And you can create – there's, you know, the web is built on top of some great open source stuff. You know, right now working on a project with a friend where we're using MySQL, but that's actually owned by Oracle. But, you know, Postgres, whatever, a lot of these technologies are, you know, very – very much are underpin what we do. But when it comes to user apps, the problem is that these things can very, very quickly become less useful. And you look at you look at how we're still waiting for the open source Microsoft Office killer and the different versions of stuff that's come out. They're kind of good, but they're kind of 4 or 5 years behind, you know, when it comes to an open source, you know, Photoshop. It just, that's a race that just had to give up on because it's just, you can't keep up. But not to say that open source is not good at all. Absolutely not. It's not the case. There's a lot of great open source stuff out there, but.
Absolutely.
I don't know what else to tell you there. I just don't know. I don't.
Yeah.
Man, we went long. This is a jumbo rock block. We're over 2 hours and counting.
Yeah. Anybody have any picks?
Well, you know, I very much enjoyed Jessica Jones. I know this is I don't want to, you know, ruin Thanksgiving dinner by talking about politics here, but I've enjoyed Jessica Jones.
Cool. I'm 3 episodes in. I'm on the fence. I mean, I like it, but I'm on the fence. It's like, oh, am I gonna love this? So, I want to like it a lot.
I think. You know, I would be critical. It like Daredevil, I think, sometimes doesn't quite have the knockout supporting character acting that I think kind of defines other prestige sort of shows where, you know, like they're 1 through 5 top of the bill actor, you know, stuff is just a little bit stronger than both of those two shows specifically. It is a show about emotions and characters and not necessarily fighting, which is at times problematic when you like just clear out, you know, it's like, oh, wait, 4 people are going to fight and there's going to be a thing. And it's like just a lot of kind of cutting away from action and a lot of not really understanding what the hell's happening. And, you know, I think. Hopefully in season 2 you see a little bit more of a focus on some of the actiony stuff, but that's not really the point of the show. So it didn't screw me too much.
I have a suggestion for people, yeah. Not related to that at all. But if you take Star Wars, Empire, and Jedi right now, and you decided that you wanted to watch those leading up to the release of The Force Awakens. Today is the day to start where you watch about 20, 22 minutes a night, the same length of a half-hour episode show is broken down into. So if you wanted to watch them in serial format a little bit each day, today is the day to start where you end up the day before Force Awakens, having watched the Holy Trilogy.
The Holy Trilogy. Oh, man. Dude, I'm so pumped. It's going to be so, so good. Yeah. Brian?
Fargo is a very good show, and you don't need to watch season 1 to enjoy season 2. They are anthological. They're like anthologies. Watch Fargo.
Anthological.
Boys and girls, thank you for being a part of this jam-packed episode of After Things following, well, actually the jam-packed episode of Weird Things. We got nothing. It's been after.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.